Okay, everybody. Good morning, people. Welcome. We are so glad you're here. Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Good morning. I'm going to get ready to mute everybody here in just a second. Well, I'm so glad you're here. And the theme for this new month of October is deep listening. The words that call us into worship this morning come from the Reverend Gretchen Haley. For all the promises we make, we never promise that your heart will not break, that your heart could be brave, bold, bursting open, and be saved from the ache that sweeps over all of life. We can only hope to bolster that bravery, quiet that ache. Hope to be a community that listens to your story and listens your story into being, becoming, whispering, it is not the end. Even now, the day breaks for us all. So let us gather, friends, with our restlessness, our release, our risk, grieving the pain, praising the good, giving thanks that we dare still wade into the waters of love and longing, that we keep moving and laughing, sighing and singing, holding the silence for this time. Come. Let us worship together. And we acknowledge that the land that we gather on as a congregation, where we live, work, and play, was not freely given to us. We are gathered on the ancestral land of the Nuchu, Ute, Apache, the Pueblos, Hopi, Zuni, and Diné Nation. This was also a site of trade, gathering, and healing for other native tribes. We recognize the indigenous peoples as original stewards of this land. As these words are spoken and heard, the ties nations have to their ancestral homelands are renewed and affirmed. We acknowledge that our use of and benefit from this land came at a dire cost to Native nations and peoples whose land we now inhabit. I am Katie Kandarian Morris, minister of the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Durango. I'm so grateful to be creating community with this congregation full of beautiful, caring, and justice-filled people. In these tender times in which we are experiencing trauma and confusion, yet continue acting for a more just world, it is a balm being together, responding to the world's heartache with our liberal religious values. As Unitarian Universalists, we celebrate our radical roots and history as self-motivated spiritual people who think for ourselves and recognize that personal experience influences our beliefs more than anything. We gather in the spirit of covenant. We have a new Share the Plate recipient this month, and that recipient is Four Core. Four Core is Four Corners Office for Resource Efficiency. Our very own UUFD member is also the director of 4CORE, Lori Dixon, and she is going to tell us a little bit about it. Lori?
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Well, I don't have to introduce myself because Katie did it for me. So you may know 4CORE, and you may know that you didn't know 4CORE because you may have been involved in a do-it-yourself workshop for how to catch the rain or purchased a rain barrel through one of our group buys. Perhaps you didn't know that 4CORE did an audit, an energy assessment of all of your buildings, and provided that information that would inform you guys how, inform us as to the energy efficiency upgrades that may need to occur in the building. Perhaps you've seen a lot of EV charging or electric vehicles running around town. Well, since 2014, we've been working with the state of Colorado for the adoption of electric vehicles and promoting the development of the electric vehicle infrastructure. How about solar for low income? We have a project we just finished, a senior housing for lower income residents with the Volunteers of America, and we'll have EV charging, solar, and hopefully an EV shuttle for the older adults that live there. Energy efficiency upgrades and weatherization, health and safety measures that we provide for lower income families. Even during COVID, although we had to pause those kinds of programs, we are now full swing and helping people get more comfortable in their homes as we approach winter. So what do they all have in common? All our programs and projects are designed to reduce the harmful emissions from dirty fossil fuels that contribute to the rapidly warming planet. There's a crisis that has been underlying, of course, the most immediate COVID crisis, and that's the climate crisis. And that's where we focus our attention. It may not seem like we're frontline, but once we have the pandemic under control, if that's possible, we still have the climate to deal with. And they project that at least 250,000 deaths a year are related to the climate crisis. So we focus our attention there, and these programs and projects that we provide are vital to our community. So we sure hope that you will look us up. I'll provide the link to our website and the programs and projects that we do. We have another exciting one coming on board where we're actually going to do the Four Corners Carbon Offset Fund, which will be a way for people to donate to a fund, and it will help offset energy efficiency upgrades that we do for lower income families. So we keep our mission straight ahead, and that is to focus on what we can do locally to reduce the effects of the climate crisis. So thanks so much for this opportunity. I really appreciate it. And I'll put the link to our website in the chat if you want to learn more about 4CORE. Thank you.
The 14th century Persian mystic and lyric poet Hafiz, sometimes called Hafiz, sometimes pronounced Hafez. And in fact, that name is a pen name given to those who have memorized the Quran. And the very brief words of poetry are titled, A Great Need. And they've been translated by Daniel Ladinsky. Out of a great need, we are all holding hands and climbing. Not loving is a letting go. Listen, the terrain around here is far too dangerous for that. Let's hold silence for just a little bit longer this morning. May it be so. Amen. Ashe. Amen. Blessed be. It was 1637. Settlers in Dedham, Massachusetts, wanted to start a church. They didn't know each other, but their need for survival and the religious call of their hearts drew them together. In the England they had just left behind, they wouldn't have been able to organize a church this way by themselves, without having to answer to a higher church authority. After a number of years, they formalized their churches and created a document known as the Cambridge Platform, because they met in Cambridge, Massachusetts, describing this way that churches would gather, the structure under which they would be organized, what we today call congregational polity. Of the 65 congregations that voted to ratify the platform in 1648, 21 of those are members of the Unitarian Universalist Association today. Kind of cool, but maybe a little yawn, ho-hum. This is not the History Channel, and yet I think it's more relevant than ever. Those folks gathered because of their need for survival. We have a need for survival today. We might take for granted that we are able to organize our church, our congregation, our fellowship the way we want, that we are independently governed. Our affiliation, the Unitarian Universalist Association, offers services to all of the congregations that come together in mutual support. What was key in the Cambridge platform is still key today. Those Puritan leaders wanted to follow the second commandment as expressed by Jesus, to love thy neighbor as thyself. To create a church where we can create and learn from one another. All churches must be in covenant with one another. They would need to ask each other for advice. They promised each other to help in times of need. And these are the same values expressed now and encompassed in our principles and our sources. In the language of the 17th century, they agreed to walk together or journey together, as we now say in a less ableist way. Many times, as we express when we share the words for our offering, we refer to ourselves as the free church. And this is exactly what we mean, that as groups of people, we are making an agreement to journey together in the spirit of mutual love, without someone else telling us to what group we must belong. There are two parts to covenant. One is individualistic, that it is freely chosen. And secondly, that it brings community into being. And yet the dominance of individualistic understanding of human existence has taken over. Theologian Rebecca Parker says, we need another way. The theological history of covenant can be our resource. Rebecca Parker tells us, and this is what to me makes what otherwise might be ho-hum instead, rich and spiritual, and understanding that we inherit covenant before we create covenant. To to help understand, Rebecca Parker tells a really great story of her move first to the Bay Area to take the position of president of Star King School for the Ministry that's located there. When she arrived, she met all sorts of distant relatives who lived in that area. And so they gathered together for a reunion, and she discovered then, upon meeting, that all of them were either teachers, ministers, or musicians, things of which she is all three. She tells us with a kind of spiritual awakening, apparently, I had never made any choices at all in my life. My life was given to me. I did not make myself. And this is how it is. We receive who we are before we choose who we will become. I love her story, but oftentimes folks come to me struggling with feelings of just the opposite. Who am I, they say, when nothing like these people? I am nothing like these people who are my family. And while we may have differences of opinion and behavior, embedded, I know I can feel and notice these things about what I have received and what I choose. Do you know that cool fill-in-the-blank poem originally from the Appalachian poet George Ella Lyon called Where I'm From? We did it together once a number of years ago at our retreat. It offers a template that through filling in your personal details, your choice as to how deep you want to go, when completed, it offers the story of whose we are. Kind of reminds me a little bit of the story we heard for the children this morning. Would you like to hear mine? Say yes, because I'm going to tell it to you. All right, here it goes. Where I'm from. I'm from stereos, from hibachis and fujikoshi. I am from the overlook of the woods, leafy, wet, quacking. I am from trillium, long-stemmed with white, one bright blossom. I am from books to be read and blustery, from Richard and Barbara. I'm from the culinarian and skier, dancer, historian. From you are loved and you can do better. I'm from the living tradition, building it together. I'm from Motown and Pennsylvania Dutch, adopted Armenian, apple pie, pilaf, from the stewed figs of the Flint welfare home, the finally reunited at the lake, an archival box to help you remember pieces of the story. If you would like to write your version of the poem, Shannon has just put the link in the chat for you. You can copy and paste it into another document, or if you don't want to do that now, I will send that link out to you later so you can write your own poem and share it with your family. I agree with Rebecca Parker when she says, as human beings, our lives begin and never leave the soil of this earth that shapes us through blood, kinship, genes, culture, associations, social systems, networks of relationships, and extended communities. Even when we do not directly know the people whose lives are linked with ours, Rebecca Parker continues, our lives unfold in relationship to theirs. And this is how it is with covenant as well. When I think of the importance of the Cambridge platform, I'm reminded not only of how those newcomers to a foreign land who wanted to build something to make sense for their setting, but nonetheless, how they still grant where they came from. In Rebecca Parker's words, we do not make ourselves. We are given the gift of life, the gift of the earth that sustains life, and the gift of one another, here, now, and in all the generations leading up to now. Our hymnal includes the beautiful words and melody by Brian Wren. We are not our own. Earth forms us. Human leaves on nature's growing vine. Fruit of many generations. Seeds of life divine. When we ask what kind of church are we, answering that we come from congregational polity, it is not only a governance answer, it is a theological one. As we make our covenant, we must first ask, what have we been given? What is the covenant we are already in? We are inheritors of a community of resistance. Looking back to those religious ancestors of 1648, the Free Church tradition emerged as part of a reforming movement that resisted the corrupt hierarchical power of the church and the economic alliance between the feudal aristocracy and the church. So then a new way of being together, the making of church covenants, asserted the power of people to determine their own lives, to choose who would govern them. It would lead to the rise of modern democracy and of a new economic system. Alice Blair Wesley is a contemporary Unitarian Universalist minister, and she's a preeminent scholar of our covenantal history. She poses an answer to what is the basis of a liberal church? Long experience teaches that it cannot be a creed. I hope the day comes, she says, when many can explain. Ours is a covenantal church. We join by promising one another that we will be a beloved community, meeting together often to find the ways of love as best as we can do. We have found there is always more to learn about how love really works and could work in our life and in the world. What kind of church are we? We're a community that values love, values learning and growing. We are a community of resistance, of justice rolling down. Our survival depends upon it. May it be so. Amen. Ashe. Blessed be.